Take your Bibles, please, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Appreciate the opportunity this morning to fill in for Pastor Jackson and open the Word of God to you today. 1 Kings chapter number 18. By the Lord's help this morning, I'm going to look at this subject at the intersection of truth and error. At the intersection of truth and error. If you found your place in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21, would you stand with me, please, just quickly out of respect of the reading of the Word of God, and then we will pray. The Bible says to us in 1 Kings 18, 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Notice what the people did. The people answered him not a word. Lord, we bow before you this morning, God. We pray for what we do not have, except for the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of us. We pray that the Holy Spirit, who authored the Word of God, would give ability for the Word of God to be understood and, Lord, used in our lives. We realize the Bible is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. God, may you use it this morning. May the Holy Spirit use the Word of God. We pray this in the name above all names. My name is Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt you've heard sermons on this particular text. I'm going to go in a little different direction with it this morning than what you might would expect. But this particular text is one of the great texts of the Old Testament of where truth and error intersect. And truth and error intersects all throughout the pages of Scriptures. You cannot get away from it. It intersects constantly throughout the pages of Scripture. Truth and error met at Calvary's cross, the error of man and his sin and the truth of God's Word. As we look at God's Word this morning, I'd like to say to you this morning before we can get started, truth will stand. Truth must stand. Truth must be upheld. And the truth of God's Word is the only truth we have. Without apology this morning and without exception this morning, it is the Word of God that is the truth of God this morning. Now, no doubt, all of us have come to intersections in our lives. Intersections can create danger, confusion. Some intersections now are in a circle. Can I get a witness? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't know which lane to be in? I just like the old traditional four-way stop. Amen? But they also can give you choices. They can give you opportunity. Don't you like that intersection? It says, sign, go to the right, takes you to the beach. Amen. Especially in the fall when it's a little cooler and nobody's there, right? It can give you opportunities to go different places. Intersections, we're told, if you want to believe AI and Google, create 40 to 50% of all wrecks. Happened at intersections. Should I ask, has anybody had a wreck at an intersection? You don't have to confess here at church this morning. We're told that 25% of all fatalities that are related with a car happen at an intersection. Intersection wreck causes. I'm just curious, what causes wrecks? Driver error, distraction. This is the number one distraction. Misjudgment and breaking the law. Causes accidents. You say, where in the world are you going with this morning? The church is at an intersection of truth and error. Of truth and error. If your head is in the sand and if you're buried somewhere, if you're holed up in a cave somewhere and you cannot see this, I want to tell you this morning, the church is at an intersection of truth and error in our generation. The church is wavering on things it should never waver on. God's people are saying, well, maybe we need to rethink some things. We're not talking about what songs we're singing. We're not talking about what somebody's wearing to church. We're talking about this book right here and the error that is coming in to the churches of our generation. Notice what Elijah said here. He said, how long shall you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. The people answered him not a word. The greatest injustice in our generation is the last one when God's people no longer say a word. And we're quiet on the truth of God's word. We're quiet on thus saith the Lord God. The verse here tells us, he gives us an interesting phrase here. He says, how long will you halt? When I first read this, This is what came to my mind. Halt. A sign. I need to stop. I need to stop. I need to give a break. I need to halt. You ever told your kids to halt? Get a hold of it? Maybe I'm old. Older word. It means to stop. Guess what? That's not what this word means. It is only used three times in the Old Testament, and this is what it literally means. A halt, for you older people in here that can identify with this, young people don't use this word anymore, it can mean a limp or lameness. That someone is halt. They can't walk. They limped. For example, Jacob would be an example in the Old Testament of someone who God touched him and he walked with a limp or a halt the rest of his life. That is what the word means here. If you want to go home and look it up in Strong Concordance, that is exactly what it means here. And the Holy Spirit told Elijah to use that word. The word halt there means to limp between something. I am told by those who know way more than I do that the Baal worship actually halted or danced in their worship, the way they drug themselves around. So what is he telling them here? On one side, they've got Baal, the primary god that they worshiped in the Old Testament, the lost world. God's people on this side with Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. And what he is saying to them, to God's people, in this particular text here, what has happened is Elijah tells King Ahab, get all of Israel together, bring your prophets of Baal, bring the prophets of the grove, and you come down and we're going to have a meeting and we're going to have a standoff on this issue. You're very familiar with these scriptures. The standoff there is between Baal, the god Baal, the Old Testament, or Baal, some people like to pronounce it nowadays, and Yahweh, God of the Old Testament. And what Elijah says to them is, church, children of Israel, children of God, stop limping between the God of the world and the God of the Bible. And what he's saying here is they're indecision. They can't make a decision. Well, we're going to go over here with Baal. And then they come back over here, dragging it. The prophet drags them back over here somewhere in the middle. And they're just, you know what happens eventually? They just become lame and complacent. Just become lame and complacent. Notice here on the screen. Picture's worth 1,000 words. I'm saving you about 5 minutes. Notice here, on the far right, what you have is this dangerous intersection that Elijah is at, that the God's people are halting at. Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, is on one side. On the other side, you have King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel, one of the most despicable women in the history of women. King Ahab was not a king. He was just a puppet. It's all he was to his wife. Ladies, no injustice to you. I'm just telling the truth this morning. Then you've got their prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal. If you can see the picture good enough, what is in the prophet? What is in Baal's hands in the top right? A child. They were known as some of these other Canaanite ritualistic religions that they would give their children in worship of their God. The bottom right, this is Asherah. This is from an archaeological dig. Somebody dug up, found a picture at the bottom right, Asherah. These are the prophets of the grove. A prophet of the grove, you say, what in the world is that? Those were people who tried to take the truth of God's word and they would mix it with the idolatrous practices of the day and they would put them together. It became such a significant thing that God in Deuteronomy told God's people that they could not have poles that worshiped Asherah. You say, why was Asherah so important? In just all honesty this morning with you, she was the god of sexual pleasure. She was a god of fertility. There are things I cannot tell you in a mixed company about what they did at this place of worship. You take any kind of sexual sin there was at that day and generation, any kind of perversion, it was found in the worship of these gods. Any kind, transgenderism, lesbianism, homosexuality, asexuality, all these other words that we come up now with our generation, just to put a label on sin, and that's what it is. And just to put a label on it to make it okay. Just because religion says something is okay does not make it right in the eyes of God. God says what is right and wrong. God created those kind of things for a man and woman inside the confines of marriage. And I will tell you, in 2025, God has not changed his mind just because America and the Supreme Court has changed its mind. And just say, oh, well, we're worshiping the Lord when we do kind of these things. You listen to me, my friend. You can't worship God and be in those kind of sexual sins. You can't say, I worship the God of the Scriptures and bow down to a pole that is something for sexual pleasure and say we're pleasing God. You can't halt between two opinions. And Elijah is looking at this group. He's looking at the children of Israel out there standing around this mountain. He's looking at these prophets, these sexual perverts who say they're prophets, these prophets of Baal who are okay with child taking and killing children. And he looks over here, he says, I am the only one with Yahweh. Only one. He was the only one present with God. Friends, just because the crowd gets thin doesn't mean that truth changes. Just because a denomination says the truth changes and the crowd's bigger over there doesn't mean truth is right on their side. Here, let's put it to modern application. Right, it's not my goal to be offensive this morning. It's not my goal to be hateful this morning, but I am going to stand for truth this morning, and I'm going to stand without apology this morning. When truth and error intersect, culture, religion, fear, opinion, and government says the Bible has no place. If you'll notice here, I've added on this graphic where Ahab and Jezebel are, is the government. And this idea that the church and state, the church separation of church and state, our founding fathers, go back and read David Barton's book on original intent, they never intended for the state to tell the church what to do, but they gave the right for the church to tell the state what to do whenever it chose to tell it what to do. 37, the framers of the Constitution were men who identified with the faith of the Bible. Now this thing has been flipped around exact opposite in the culture of the last 60, 70 years of my lifetime. And somehow all of a sudden we've been told, you're irrelevant. You don't belong in government. My friend, God's word stands whether it's in government, your house, the schoolhouse, the library house, where the commissioners meet in the legislative building, in Congress, Supreme Court. God's word still stands. We don't belong, is what we're told. Some of our local officials would use this argument with us over our recent argument over these perverted books in the library. Oh, the church just needs to let the government take care of that. No, the church has let the government take care of stuff way too long. Religion. How is it that religious people are okay with killing children? I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to apologize. Satan is always okay with killing children. God never condones it. You hear that? God never condones the murder of children. Any denomination or any religion that's okay with taking a child's life does not know God. Does not know God. The bottom one here. They're okay with sexual excess. I'm 55. I was on the tail end of the sexual revolution in 1984 when I went to high school. It was everywhere. Do what you want to do. As long as you have protection, do what you want to do. I can still hear it now. Do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. And now we've kind of flipped around a little bit, but we flipped around to now we don't even know what sex is anymore. You mark my word, and I'm not being smart aleck, and I'm not being hard to get along with. But that LGBTQIA+, it's going to keep on adding more letters to it. Because the heart and wicked heart of man is never satisfied. Is never satisfied. Preacher, are you saying that those things are wrong? No, I am not. This book does. this book does. You say, well, I got a family member trapped up in that. My heart breaks for them just as much as it breaks for a man or a woman who is bound up in prostitution, or a man who has been unfaithful to his wife. In God's sight, they are the same thing. It is taking that something God intended for somewhere else and putting it somewhere else. Friends, I'm going to tell you, if you got, the church has gotten cold and calloused on issues like this, that it's, okay, as long as Bob is helping the church out and leading the music, but he is one of these initials out on a daily week out in the community, he's a queer, or whatever you want to call it, or whatever label he wants to do it, we say, well, it's okay as long as he's leading in the worship of the Lord. How can you lead the worship in the Lord when you deny the word? I know that's not popular this morning. But friends, you mark it down. That group has an agenda. That group has an agenda. Their agenda is those kids sitting over there in the other sanctuary, the kids sitting back there in the nursery. That is their agenda. That's why they're creating these books, sneaking them into libraries. And ladies like the other, these, some of these ladies, mothers, who are going and fighting these issues here. It is morally wrong. It is biblically wrong. It's wrong. There is a danger with cuddling the snake. Because the snake you cuddle will one day bite you. I will say to you this morning without apology, our children are not for sale. Our schools are not for sale. The library is not for sale. Our homes are not for sale. And this blessed old book is definitely not for sale. I sat in my office a week and a half ago, torn in my heart. A government official called me. We were talking about the current issue that's going on in the county. And I sat there and I hung the phone up and I began to cry sitting in my office. God, where have we come that we're debating whether to give a five-year-old a perverted book, letting them check it out, letting them read it for themselves? But they're not a boy when they're actually a boy. They're not a girl when they're actually a girl. You know what the church does? I'm going to be dead and gone. And you younger generation, you're going to wake up one day. It's not going to be the exception. It's going to be the norm. God says it is morally and biblically wrong. I listened to a preacher this past week. He said, yeah, all y'all people want to do is quote the Old Testament on this particular issue. The Old Testament is outdated and does not belong anymore. Well, you tell me what you do with Romans chapter number 1 when God mentions it in Romans chapter 1. You tell me what you do with when Paul mentions it in Timothy. You tell me what you do with when John mentions Revelation of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is part of it. You see, you have to forsake your sin and turn to the Savior. You can't hold on to your sin and hold on to the Savior. You can't love two masters. You have to take one and love one and turn to the other. You can't do like Elijah's looking at those people. You can't take God and bring Baal over here and mix them together and somehow get some new religion. Why is it in our generation that the church is content to offer a counterfeit instead of the real deal? I thank God when she started singing that verse, I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I remember the morning the Lord saved me. I went to Salem, North Carolina. As a little boy, I had to realize I was a wretch. I'm so glad my mother looked me in the eyes and said, son, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. The church has gotten so comfortable playing in the intersection of error that the danger is no longer seen. You say, not Beulah Baptist Church. I sat in my office and I said, Lord, what are we going to do? I hung up that government official, one of our commissioners. I said, Lord, what's wrong with people? You know what the Lord did? You ready for this? I'm sitting there begging and praying and pleading. I shut the door. I was so disturbed. I shut the door and I said, Lord, what's wrong with Randolph County? What's wrong with people? What's wrong with Christians? And the Lord said, Todd, how long will you halt between two opinions? I said, Lord, Lord, you're not talking to me. Brother Riley, I said, Lord, you're not talking to me. I'm not the one halting between two opinions. It's them other people. He said, all right, are you on my side or not? I said, of course I'm on your side, Lord. The Lord said, stop limping between two opinions. If I'm God, follow me. By the way, when it says follow me in that verse, it means get up and walk. It literally is translated walk in the Old Testament. So Elijah tells him, stop limping and get up and walk. To get up from the air, limp and lay in lane and walk over to God. I said again, I said, Brother Purvis, I said, Lord, you can't be talking to me. Do you know I'm a preacher? Do you know I spend my day with all these kids, hundreds of kids every day? Lord, do you know what it's like to be with all these kids every day? I said, Lord, you can't be talking to me. And the Holy Spirit reached down into my soul and said, Todd, stop straddling the fence and stand where I stand. I bowed my head at that desk and I said, God, by your grace, I'm going to stand where God stands. I'm going to be loving and I'm going to be kind, but I'm going to stand where God stands. You see, error always seeks to erase truth. We don't have time this morning. Error seeks to remove truth by loss of the past. They had forgotten God. Error always seeks to erase truth by removing truth. Verse 18 of the same text. Verse 3 always removes it by blatant lies. You know what he said to Elijah? Ahab said to Elijah, are you the guy that's causing all the trouble? That's what he said to Elijah. There's only one man standing up for God. You're the dude causing all the trouble. You're the one that prayed and ain't rained in 3 years. What is your problem? You know what Elijah said? Elijah said, I'm not the man causing the problem. You're the man causing the problem. You're the one that won't follow God. You're the one that doesn't love God. You're the one worshiping Baal. You're the one that's committing all these sexual acts with the prophets of the grove. He says, you're the one. You know what happens in our generation when the world and the culture says to us, you're out of line, you shouldn't be doing that. You're the one causing trouble. He said, well, maybe we are the one causing the trouble. And we withdraw. My friend, it is our duty as children of God to stand with truth. To stand with truth. Not only will it remove it removes truth by excess of men. You can go home and read these for yourself. But they began to do all kinds of vile things. And then they released fear. You know what Jezebel did? She rounded up all the preachers of the Old Testament, killed them. Killed them. Would it make you think twice about coming to church this morning, deacons, the 15 of us, if we cut up to church this morning, they said, hey, every deacon that shows up at Beulah Baptist Church, the sheriff's coming to get you, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be dead by noon. Would we think twice? See, the devil's tactics have never changed. He used fear on Eve, and he's still using fear on us. Hey, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Listen to this. Error of culture over truth takes a turn to convenience. Error of religion over truth takes the exit of compromise. Error of fear over truth takes a detour of cowardice. Error of opinion over truth takes the road of complacency. Error of government over truth takes the toll road of conformity. You see, when we take error over truth, it always comes with a consequence. That consequence could be convenience. It's just convenient. It's just too hard nowadays, Brother Daniel. It's just too hard to stand against that. Oh, well, maybe God really didn't mean this. As I heard somebody this past week, I don't believe the book of Revelation. It was a brother last Sunday night. That the book of Revelation is literal, that it's allegory. No, I believe he's coming back on a white horse. Amen? I said, well, maybe God really didn't mean that. Cowardice. Complacency. The church must get out of the habit of planning their earthly journey by using accepting the byways and highways of error. You say, whoa, Todd, you're barking up the wrong tree this morning. You're barking at the Beulah tree. You got the hound dogs at the wrong tree this morning. You need to send it down to the Methodist church, the Episcopalian church. I'm going to tell you, error is slipping into the Baptist church, and it's slipping in very much so this morning. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. The Bible says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, every man's conscience in the sight of God. Notice this, if we start kowtowing with this and backing down with what the word of God said, do you know who we're hurting? We're hurting ourselves, yes, but if our gospel be hid, who's it hid to? Come on, wake up. But our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are, say it again, lost. Some of you sitting in here, you've been to the doctor, you got cancer. What kind of cancer? We got, prostate cancer. You got 6 months to live. So what? I don't believe you. I'm going home to do what I want to do. Guess where you're going to be in 4 to 6 months? Dead. Why is it that we'll take a doctor and a psychologist's opinion over the opinion of the Word of God? Well, a doctor said it. It's going to happen. I wonder, has anybody in here ever got a diagnosis from a doctor that was wrong? Would you raise your hand? Oh, we got a few here. Yeah. I've been there occasionally. Or they gave you the wrong medicine. See, we ought to have a higher view of this than we do of man. Our gospel's hid. It's hid to them that are lost. Notice this. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He says to us in the culture, in the religious circles that we run in our days, he says the answer is not compromising the error. The answer is to hold on to the truth. If a doctor told you, I've got 100% cure for your prostate cancer, and it's going to heal you, you're going to live for 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years. You know what every one of us would do? We'd take it. Why is it when people are bound by the bondage of sin that we say, nah, I'm not going to tell them that's wrong. I'm not going to tell them that truth always stands over error. In case of Elijah, verse number 1, truth never mixes with error. Verse 21 in this particular text, truth always is above government and religion. Do you know where the 850 prophets that Elijah stood against, do you know who they were all employed by? If you read verse chapter 18, verse number 19, they were employed by Jezebel, the government. I know this is live stream this morning. The government has a couple of answers, but on the most of the things, the government has no answers. We do not owe allegiance to the United States government. We first and foremost owe allegiance to the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the government intersects with the gospel, the government intersects with the truth of God's word always stands. God's word is always right. And that's what Elijah was telling them this day. Truth must be proclaimed. God's truth always stands. All through this text, Elijah keeps coming to with the truth. Call on the name of the Lord. Go back to the commandments that you've forgotten. Go back and do this. He stooped down over here on Yahweh's side by himself. Man, who broke this altar down? Let me put that stone back. Who knocked the stone way over here? Oh. Put stone back by, there's stone over here. He got the altar repaired. The Bible says he took that bullock, slew it, cut it open, filleted it out of his head, put the wood up on there, put the meat on top of it. Oh, I got to dig a trench. You ever dug a trench? Ever dug footings for your house without a backhoe, with a shovel? Can I get a witness? It hadn't rained in 3 years. Brother Kyle, that'd be pretty tough to lay a sidewalk and rain 3 years, wouldn't it? He's digging it. He ain't got no backhoe. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. It's back in the Old Testament. The only backhoe he had was the hoe that his back was using. He digs a big enough hole all around there. He digs it all around. Then he says to Ahab and Jezebel, go get a bunch of water. wait a minute. The man of God's telling the government what to do. Go get it. One time, two times, three times. It's, you know why he did that? So there would be no question that his God was real. Because the other crowd would set tricks and ropes to ignite fire to look like they had done something. And he called down God's judgment, called down God's power upon that place. When truth intersects with error of culture, there must be biblical courage. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Truth intersects with the error of religion. There must be biblical conviction. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. If you have the kids here in Awana, they're learning this verse to start the Awana program, to rightly divide the word of truth. My friend, there is one thing to have the truth. It is another thing to rightly divide the truth. You cannot take this word right here and excuse away the sin of our generation. This word says right here, what is right and what is wrong? What about my opinion? What about somebody else's opinion? When my opinion stacked up against this book right here, you knew which one always comes in first place? God's opinion. God's opinion. And Lydia must have really irritated him this morning. He got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, I got up on the right side. I got on the same side I always get up on. Had my cup of coffee. He said, well, them old-timey preachers, they were just mean and ornery. Just hard to get along with. No, they were standing in the gap. They were standing for God. Can you imagine this morning if God called one of us to stand against 1,000 people, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is where God draws the line. When truth intersects with fear, there must be a biblical command. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. 1 Corinthians 2:7. When truth intersects the error of opinion, there must be biblical confidence, not as the word of men, but as is the truth, the word of God. I wonder sometimes if we've forgotten. We just don't hold a textbook. Oh, wait, this is just a compilation of Neil Jackson's sermons. About 40 authors, over 3,000 years, moved to the Holy Spirit. Holy men of old were moved. God spoke to them in an unusual way and gave them the word of God. The Bible stands though the hills may crumble. The Bible stands though the earth may crumble. I will set my feet on its firm foundation. The Bible stands. The Bible stands. Dad, if you want to make a difference in your home, don't be reading behind psychologists. Take out the word of God and show your children from the word of God what it means to be a child of God and lead them to the cross, lead them to salvation to find the Lord Jesus Christ and make a difference in their lives with the word of God. I've tried all kinds of things with my children. I've whooped their tails. I've used every kind of reason I had. I used Fred Daniels' tactics. That's my dad. And then some of them didn't work with too good. But you know what I found? When I went by God's way, God can do more in a millisecond than you can do in 18 years. Truth intersects the error of government. There must be biblical clarity. 1 Timothy 3:15, we are the church of a living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Of truth. Yeah, you say, you teenagers sitting here, you say, well, you don't, Brother Daniel, you don't know what it's like. My high school. Brother Daniel, you don't know what it's like in my family. God and you will always make a majority. God and you will always make a majority. We must stand for truth. We have the truth of God's word. He tells us in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Notice this, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of error is not gone by getting a seminary degree. It's known by knowing the Word of God. Those degrees are all helpful and everything. But if those degrees take your confidence away from this book, you need to take that degree, put it in the burn bell, and light it on fire. God's Word's going to stand. God's Word's going to stand. One day you're going to lay me over there across the road, and somebody else is going to preach. And listen, God's Word is going to stand. God's Word's going to stand. God's Word's going to stand. God's Word is going to stand this morning. God's Word has to stand. God's Word is the truth. You say, well, people just don't get it. I came to the conclusion a week and a half ago that someone that has lost but espouses these wild sexual views, it is only the power of the gospel and the power of the Word that will change their mind. It is not my opinion and my intellectual ability. It is the power of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, renewed by the Holy Spirit. What happens when truth and error intersect? There are only three options. Error blocks truth. You ever been to an intersection, somebody pulls in the middle of the intersection and you can't get through? Well, it's my right of way. I can't help it. The light turned red and I'm turning left. I'm going to take the intersection. Any of y'all do that like me? How come is it so easy for error to block truth, but it's so hard for truth to trump error? Error trumps truth when we yield the right of way. There are people who mix it with truth. I wonder if I went to your house or my house and I found some rat poison. And I just put a few flakes in somebody's tea at lunch today. Not going to do that. If you're out there watching on live stream, don't quote me that I'm killing somebody today. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? We're going to kill them. I'm going to kill them. You know what we do when we take this and we say, let me think about this just a minute. I don't believe God really meant that. Yeah. God was just being too hard that day. He must have had a bad day. Turn on over here. Romans. You see here. That Paul dude, man, he was... He must have had ODD or something, or ADD. I don't know. What's this say here? For all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to write a new version. And I think that new version is going to say, I'm going to put an exclusion on that. And Baptists aren't classified for that. You know what the greatest way people put error into the church? They mix it, they just ignore truth. Truth has to march on. Truth has to march on. If you're a child of God, this must march on. You with me this morning? I know I'm in overtime. Stick with me just a minute. This must march on. This must march on. God's word, let God be right and every man a liar. God's truth must march on. March on with truth that God gives us. Turn aside from the error of man. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice in your home. I see it every day at school. I see a new generation. How do we parent? How do we do this? How do we do that? How do we handle all these problems? Hey, we wrestle with them too. At some point, you have to come back to where the answers are. You have to come back to where the answers are located. If you have children here this morning, their greatest need is not that they get a car when they're 16, that they play on every travel ball team on the face of the planet. That is not their greatest need. Their greatest need this morning is they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need someone to point them to them. A dad to say, let me tell you about the truth of God's word. I asked you this morning, are you resolved that this is God's word? You said, preacher, I'm a member here. I got my certificate when I got my, I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, have you taken this? Said, I'll stand for God. I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to stand for truth. What will you do at the intersection of truth and error? Well, Brother Todd, when I get there, I'll make my decision. Hey, church, we're already there. We're already at the intersection. This isn't the 80s. This isn't the 70s. This isn't the 60s. We must stand. We must stand for the truth of God's word. You say, does it really matter? Well, as I began to study for this particular sermon, I began to think about, God, were there other moments in Scripture where people wrestled with this same thing? Joshua told his generation, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, the gods of the Amorites, the gods on the other side of Jordan, or the God of the New Testament, or the God of the Old Testament, choose this day whom you serve. Listen to what he said. But as for me, I can't control what Lydia does. I can't control what Rebecca, Caleb, Samuel, or Joshua does. I can't control what my brothers do who are all Baptist ministers. I can't control this. But bless God this morning, I can say with the strength of God, with the armor of God, we need to stand. And with our family, hold it before our families. I would say this to you, please don't be offended. Please don't stone me. Please don't throw hymn books at me. There's a bunch of dads in here. Yeah, you can teach them to hunt. You can teach them to do all those manly things. But the last thing on the list should not be the Word of God. It should be the first thing. To push them to Christ. To give them to Christ. David says, is there not a cause? Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Daniel said he purposed in his heart. Esther said, who knows whether you've come for a kingdom for such a time as this? In the book of Acts, it said, can we not but speak the things which we have seen and heard? Isaiah said, God said to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. You say, Brother Daniel, I'm never going to be a politician. I'm never going to be in a pulpit. Yeah, but you're going to stand in Sunday school classes. You're going to stand in your home. And you need God's truth in your life. I didn't tell Brother Travis what to pray a little while ago, but there may be some of you sitting here this morning. You've turned to everything else. You've turned to alcohol. You've turned to drugs. You've turned to all kinds of things. Your marriage may be falling apart. Can I got good news for you this morning? There's truth for you in this blessed book this morning. But you have to see you have a problem first. You have to turn and repent of your sins and come to Christ. You see, what we want in our generation is we want people to speak the truth in love. But what we really want is to speak the truth in love. What we want is to speak the truth in love. The church should speak the truth in love. But now the church motto is speak truth, but change it to a life needed, Romans 1:25. But do it in love, but make sure you don't offend anyone. So in other words, speak the truth dishonestly. Well, you're showing the love of Christ. If you love somebody who's bound in homosexuality, yeah, you're showing the love of Christ. But you're not showing the love of Christ when you say you can stay in your sin and come to Him. We all must repent. If a man's a murderer, he has to repent. Sin is sin. We must repent and come to Him. So I wonder this morning as we sit here. You say, Brother Daniel, man, this is a hard message. You ought to have to preach it and study it. And think, well, am I going to offend Brother so-and-so? Or am I going to offend Sister so-and-so? Or am I going to make somebody mad? Or am I going to make a pastor's out of town? And pastor comes back, 20 people left the church because they didn't like the message. I was obedient to God this morning. We must speak the truth. And I'm going to tell you again without apology this morning. Truth is only found in one place. It is found in this book right here. It is found in this book right here. It is this book right here. When it intersects culture, God's word stands. When it intersects religion, God's word stands. When it intersects your opinion, God's word stands. When the government decides we get somebody else in the White House, we can't meet at church like you want to anymore, like it is happening in Canada and the United Kingdom. You can't do that anymore. God's word still stands. God's word still stands. May it stand in your life. May it stand in your home. I will say it again. Our home should not be for sale. Our library should not be for sale. Our schools should not be for sale. The government should not be for sale and forsaking this blessed old book. God's word should stand. Would you bow your heads here this morning? Lord, we love you this morning.